Really?
Never enough time.
Please go ahead.
This was a fellow who said he, a Jew converted to Christianity, and he said, "I am a Jew." Well, they didn't like that, his participation over there in France, so they didn't want him. The Israelis or the Jews didn't want him because he was a Catholic priest. It said, but his participation in a seminar which brought together Roman Catholics, Protestants, and Jews to debate the silence of God during the Holocaust was assailed by Israeli chiefs, Ashkenazi rabbi, and other Orthodox rabbis. And then I guess he said he was born in Paris to Jewish immigrants, and he was sheltered by Catholics during the war, as were many Jews. And so he was then taken into a Jewish family, or a Catholic family, rather, and then he went on to become a priest. But now his own people don't want him back because he's been living with the Catholics. That's the whole gist of the story.
Oh, I know. It rubs off.
And then there's just one other little thing I thought was sort of cute. Nixon's tribute, he's now on the 32-cent stamp. Is that his honor, 32nd degree Mason? Did he make it finally on the stamp? We get to lick him.
We all get to spin off.
Beware. Beware.
Yeah. I thought that was just choice.
This may come as a shock to some of you, but I'm a Mormon.
Good.
And I don't know that what you're saying is true or whether it's not true, but this I do want to say, that when we go to the temple and we baptize people, we're baptized for the dead. That is not an it's not a commitment for them. That is our belief, that the body that we have to be baptized in order to get into the kingdom. That is permitting them, if they wish to accept that
right.
baptism.
Right.
It's not something that is commanded of them to do. A Mormon cannot command a Jew any more than a Jew can command a Mormon.
No, but the Jews...
We will baptize for them if they desire, if it's their desire to accept it, then they can do so. It's nothing that's...
Well, and let me insert something here. I do not want anyone to ever think that I come in to ridicule or pick at churches just because I do. I do not
You're
mean
You're doing
it as
a pretty good job of it.
It is not to be insulting. It is so that everyone can look at the truth of whatever it is they're doing. And I have said in here over and over again, if there is some aspect of religion that you feel compelled to go and experience, do it. Do it. Just know what it is you're doing. We had ones who would come in here. I don't want to mention names because that's when it gets offensive. And I don't come here to offend anyone. And nobody goes into these churches or anywhere else without a pure heart, trying to do what is right. And the thought, and she has said it correctly, you don't go in, and basically I misstated in the sense that you go in and you baptize somebody for somebody else, for this Jewish person who has died in the Holocaust. That is a gracious act, as a matter of fact. And the intent, at least as far as the ones participating in this particular, and I have to call it ritual because it is. Baptism is a ritual. But its purpose for the ones involved in that is literally what she just said. The capability then of that soul to decide. Now what I can't explain to you is the theory of how that could work. Because you have a physical act and a spiritual being. So I don't understand where the connection could possibly come. I see what they mean. That gives this spirit that could be, quote, misplaced, astrally bound, earthbound, whatever you want to call it, lost. It could spiritually give it a direction. Because once above that plane, you're not really going to baptize that soul into the Mormon church or into the Jewish church. But it does give that soul an opportunity to make some confrontations with its state of being. And if a Jewish person who is a non-believer in a Christ entity ends up in that etheric or astral plane, I want to tell you, people, if you're not knowledgeable, we've gone over it, and therefore I take these liberties and I shouldn't. Because sometimes it is insulting, and I don't ever mean to be insulting. Dorma's grandpa was a Baptist preacher. And it's disappointing to find that there are lies in the Bible. They're tampered with. And that's all you've had to hold on to. And along comes somebody with a big mouth who can talk for hours. And it seems I'm ridiculing. I am against the hierarchy that does this to you. But I certainly understand. And I understand the need of man, woman, and child to hold on to something seemingly good. There's so little left. And I can understand the thought of what at least purports itself to be a Christian organization wishing to offer a non-Christian who is the other end of that stick, if you will, an opportunity to come into brotherhood. And that's what it is about. And ignorant people come in and take over because they see these organizations as a place of power. And religion or lack of constitutional law or whatever is never at the level of you, the people. You just want to live and live a goodly life. Man is basically good and honorable because God births him with knowledge of good and bad. And here in the great masses, it's bred out. And it's like Kathy has said, I love that term, no place to go, nowhere to hide. Where in the world can you go if you go to your church minister and he is a child molester? Where is a child going to go? And yet these molesters will take up stations within the church because it protects them. They can get away with it. There is good and bad in everything. And to think that the Freemasons are all bad, they have done more good than almost any church. Because this pulls together a community. The lie is at the top. And it's finally filtered down until it can control you. And my point in even discussing this was because I wanted to use the term Jesus and show you this element fighting with this element and the capstone. And it doesn't matter what you call Christ. Just call him. Christ is a state of being. Christ is a state of being. And the reason he said, except through me will you come into the kingdom. It is through the concept of the Christ being or the Christ-ness way of behavior, if you will. It is a state of being. It is not a name. And it's not something you can just pick up and wear. Christian. It is a state of being. You either are or you aren't. And these are the lessons that the Jew, the Christian, the Islamic, all have to learn. There are places and status of soul being. If you want to be with God of light, you're going to have to make that Christ passage. There ain't any other way, because that's what God is, the Christ light. And that doesn't mean that you are going to be lost if you don't understand or you don't believe. And I cannot honor anyone more than someone who would go in and say, use me as a vessel. For goodness sakes, that's exactly what I'm doing here. Dharma is willing to speak for me so that I can have a voice. And you can understand the thought because she can translate it. And for someone to go within the temple or anywhere and say, use me, Father. If it helps my brother, use me, I'm willing. Then it doesn't matter about that church. You have done a worthy thing. And that's where it's at. Inside self. When the church is used for the power and the greed of man, and that is what has happened to every denomination. Every denomination. But not every man within. So we have to keep a balance.
Commander?
Yes.
Could I take you back to my earlier question, which I don't think you quite got around to answering?
I probably didn't.
Looking for a comment from you regarding Sananda's statement that we would pay dearly for more frequent exposure to his direct teachings.
You just got an example of it. You see, you've got an energy form that has come back as what you want to call as your king. In the reclaiming of God's property, if you will, there will always be the master teacher or the master guide or the master. And that's what you're dealing with. This is a spiritual pathway to God. And all of this other stuff is so physical. When we started, I said this is going to be the most physical journey to be a spiritual journey that you will ever take. Our job is so physical in its orientation. There's no other way to do it. And if you had this teacher, I mean, it's hard for ones to take, and they called his name Emmanuel, and read that gospel. And Sananda will take it even further. The concept is the same. The facts are different. And it's very, very difficult to write on the Miss Puka or the Oklahoma City bombing and then have a spiritual lesson from Sananda, and your readers are saying, who in the hell is Sananda and what is this far out stuff? We can say that because we've been the brunt of it. And it has just been decided that other than journals and occasional writing, Sananda will back off until we get farther down the trail and it's more acceptable. We don't want to lose people. We want them to be able to trust us. And that word, Sananda, blows it. They don't even think about me anymore. It is hardly ever asked who I am. But every time there's anything in there from Sananda, it's questioned. Because it is always going to be totally spiritual. in his concept. It may talk about physical things. And I know all of you need it. All of you need it. I need it. But I have it. And I know that you're longing, because ultimately that's the only reason you're here. You didn't come down here to play around on this playground. Not really. But you did come down here to bring the message so that the ones playing around down here have it. They don't have to, it's not your responsibility if they don't want to read it. But it's your responsibility to be around at this time and to serve in whatever way you choose. But it's really hard to balance the spiritual aspect of truth into a situation of a world gone completely into chaos. You can't even get along as denominations. You know, you can't even get along in denominations. Why? Because man makes the doctrines. No, it's the doctrine of God. No, where did you get that? So-and-so had a revelation. I'm not interested in so-and-so. Is so-and-so a man? Well, yes. And you're stuck with the absolute fact of you're an illusion. How can you in this room possibly know what took place 2,000 years ago when even history doesn't know the day? And up through your biblical stories, I call them myths. Simply because they are stories. I don't mean they're lies or truth or anything. They are myths. They are the traditional stories that come all the way up from as far back as man could put them together. And you have to look at some of them and realize that's impractical. That is impossible in the physical form as you know it. So ones will tell you, oh, take it on faith. You can't in one breath say, take it on faith, and then prove it to me. So somewhere at some time comes a realization into the mind that maybe all of it is partly true, maybe some of it is not correct, but it gives me a basis upon which to balance my knowing. It doesn't matter if Jonah was in the belly of a whale, really. It is the perception or the concept of the parable that matters. Obviously, you could not build an ark big enough to get two of every kind of species there is on it. So they didn't. That doesn't make the concept or the story less valid in its meaning. And every church, quote, church, established on the face of your earth, or tribe, or ritual, is man-made. Don't ever forget it for one moment. If it is physical in expression, it was man-made. There isn't any other way. There isn't any other way. And if man were totally incorruptible, that's fine. But look around you and see what power does. And if you are sitting at the pinnacle of power in a doctrine church, you're going to use it, aren't you? You may use it for total good. But pretty soon, the board of elders is going to come and want to have a building fund. And, well, let's see, we'll probably be able to break even if we make the ones who go through the temple tithe. Do you see, I don't mean, right, well, you would know. The beauty of what we're about is not to bash anything, but to look at it and understand it. And then we can function in knowing this. And the beauty of that is that if you want the social interaction and to make your heart feel good, go on to church and share with your neighbor. You don't have to be bad to work in the system. I don't think, you know, if probably if Dorma were going to look back, that a more precious time was ever had by her than when her children were growing up. And they were in the Scouts, and they lived in Salt Lake, and she went to the Ladies' Society, or whatever you call it, in the afternoon. She learned to can. She learned to go to the cannery and do pineapple. She learned to make Christmas ornaments. She learned to have lunches. The Relief Society, I believe you called it. You don't have to lose your sense to participate. I do my best work face to face with my enemy. He's going to change me. I know who I am. I know what I am. And it really would be nice if you knew who I am, but if you don't, I cannot let that bother me. I have nothing to prove. You prove me by the works I do. You prove me by the truth I bring. And I can sit in the same room with the most evil characters that you can imagine and have done so. That doesn't make me become evil. But I don't play with them either. I don't taunt them. I don't say, oh, I can handle you. It's understood that I can. And when we know what we are and we know what backup we've got, we can say it. We don't have to. It just is. And a lot who have come here and been very unhappy because, well, you don't even meet every week. No, because we don't have a church. And we're busy. And yet there isn't a one of us that doesn't long for the camaraderie of being able to sit and just do this all afternoon. And if you came more often, you'd get to talk too. But this is why, and it's sad, and one of these days you will probably see either a second paper or this one evolving as more and more spiritual instructions start flowing. Because you see, once the light of brotherhood starts showing up.
When's that?
Except for Brent, pretty soon.
You got even time to look out, ready to write.
The
19th of the
thing. 4 more minutes of tape.
Let's quit. It's been a long day. It's been a long day, and it will not be easier to stop in a few minutes than it is right now. And I know that each of you have things to do.
Commander, just one more.
Twist my arm.
Going back to Sananda and 2,000 years ago, I just feel some need to ask, is it fair to say that a lot of us in this room may have been there, been here, I guess, at that time? I just feel...
Oh, it's not fair. It's just absolute. Yes. We're a goodly little company that just keeps hopping around to all these little exciting things. You had as evil a world as you've ever had back then, 2,000 years ago. At each time, it has reached almost a total impasse of evil. But before the end, evil would rule completely, and you're there. It's worse. But in its way, it is no worse. And in those days, you had not created the technology from your having fallen at Atlantis You see these great generations or civilization falls, changes, where you will literally have a topographical change of your entire planet, and civilizations go down literally or are taken off. And then you will have the original people, usually. You know, the Indians always get stuck with that. They're the first here, the last gone. And no wonder they get irritated. But they're the teachers. They agreed to do that. And Little Crow would be the first to tell you that you make your choices about what you're going to come back and be. And I know that from this side of the veil, it sounds pretty good. Oh, there's nothing to that. But you get stuck in it, and you sure wonder why you chose that one. And then if you start digging back, you will find why you chose to do what you are doing. And it's something that just comes with the realization of time. You just get too many little nudges. It says, hey, man, I know I was there. And more and more and more, you will get little bits of insight. And sometimes these problems that you have over this, where you cannot clean them out of your head, they become distractions, then is usually when the hierarchy, and I only mean hierarchy, not pecking order, I mean outside your realm, will begin to work with you and allow you to see what you were, who you were, so that you will understand why it is important to you now.
Commander, is there any way we can find out who we were then?
Just heard.
Not here.
I knew that. Yeah.
If I had time, because I may not tell you, but if I had time, I would work with you ones, one-on-one, and would go back there and look, and you would tell me who you were. I've done that once or twice with Rick. It's lengthy, but always it interesting. And you know exactly who you were. And you will go right there.
I'm free tomorrow.
Tomorrow never comes.
I think we have to make way for Weight Watchers tomorrow or something in this room. Do we have to hide the cake?
Are Weight Watchers still coming?
Yeah.
Are they?
That's too bad.
Too bad.
That means that we can't have a meeting in the morning because I would hold over, but I can't stay later this evening.
Well, we can meet after them. What do they need?
9:30, 10:00.
I'm at your disposal.
10:10.
Well, do you want to come over here after Weight Watchers and we'll uncover the cake and have it for lunch? Then let's do it and let's go dig around and find out who he was. Anyone else want to get in line? No, EJ just wants to go.
I want to find out what time you're meeting.